The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
What becomes of the broken hearted?
Okay, we need to do it in time. Ooh.
I started in time. You started late.
Okay, well, I feel, I'm
going to. And a one, two, three, and away we go.
What becomes of the broken? No.
Why are you pausing? All right, you start and I'll fucking continue. Go.
What becomes of the... Why are we doing...
Why are you stopping?
I don't know. Is there a delay?
No, I feel like I'm in... maybe there is a delay. Okay, I'm going to blame it on Zoom.
Yeah, let's
feel like we're in tune.
Okay, well, I feel like we wasn't, so I'm going to blame it on... I'm going to blame it on the delay.
Fucking Zoom.
Cece, it's Pete. How are you?
Is it really Pete?
I'm Pete. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Pete.
Why are you waving your Sharpie at me?
Why not?
All right, okay. Fair enough. That's an interesting one.
Hi, Pete. It's Cece.
We're 34 shows in, and it's the first time you've waved your Sharpie at me, and I'm here for it.
It's the first time you said, hi, it's Pete.
It is. Are we okay today?
Oh, dear. We start with a song, that's why. When we start with a song, we know how it goes.
We know. I feel like it's going to be a fun one today. So, everyone, you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio with me, Dickhead, and Cece Coleman.
No, we're not having that. It's not about self-loathing today. This is about love.
Okay.
So with the amazing Pete, who always makes me feel brilliant, he's caring, he's supportive, he gets a really shitty name because of some silly papers like The Sun, but we love him.
Okay, and okay? Cece is a dickhead. So...
Today I'm a mermaid because you said I look like a mermaid earlier. So I'm going to be Cece the mermaid.
You look like a very beautiful mermaid. You are giving me Splash vibes. I can't remember the girl's name from Splash, but she was amazing and I had a crush on her.
Does she have a weird name? Remember when she says it and she goes like that, really, like she can't say, yeah.
So you're listening to The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and otherwise known as Cece.
Okay.
This week, we have no guest because Cece and I, we're just fed up of talking to other people.
Yeah, they're getting on nerves.
Yeah, we just don't have time to talk to each other. So fuck the guests this week. Yeah. It's just Cece and I, and we've got a fucking serious, serious topic.
Ooh, I feel like we've both got a lot to say on this subject. We're going to bring a lot to the table.
I feel like you're going to have a lot more to say on this than I am going to.
I might cry.
Oh, don't cry, because it makes me sad.
I won't cry.
Yeah, it makes me sad when you cry.
I might.
So the topic this week is heartbreak. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to do weird and wonderful dating news. We've also got listeners' questions and advice. But first, we have the dating sex book. Okay, this week, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
This week, it's the penguin.
Haven't we done the penguin?
We haven't done the penguin.
Are you sure?
We've
done the dolphin.
We've done a number of different animals, but this is the penguin.
Okay, so this has got to be something to do with feet, because happy feet is penguins. So I reckon it's about people with a massive foot fetish who like to suck individual toes and count to 10.
What, why count
to 10? Because there's 10 feet, 10 toes.
Got ya. You are completely utterly wrong. Okay, are you ready?
I am ready.
The penguin. While performing a blowjob, the giver walks out of the room before finishing, leaving the man with his pants around his ankles, waddling after her.
Oh, I've done that before. I've actually done one. This is wicked.
You've done the penguin.
Oh my God, I've done it. Wow, first time for everything.
Cece is the penguin. Well, no, you're not a penguin. You've left a man as a penguin. Why did you not finish the job?
To prove a point.
Oh, that is savage.
It is
savage.
Really savage.
That is so savage.
I would like to explain the point, but I'm not going to because it's not fair on that person. But if I did explain the point, it would make sense. And you go, do you not see? Are you penguined him? Wow.
Are you going to explain the point to me after?
Okay.
So Cece, the first time in, 34 shows, Cece has done the penguin.
I mean, how shit does that sound though? It's not like something like really like kinky and fun. It's just like, I just left someone hanging. Wicked. Have you been penguined?
I've not been penguined.
Haven't you?
No, I've not been penguined. Normally
down.
Because Mainly because when I'm getting a blowjob, I like to be, I don't have my trousers around my ankles. I just generally just take them fucking fully off. Do you know what I mean? Shall we?
Weird and Wonderful Dating News. That was a quite simple one this week.
Yeah, just the penguin. It's giving a blowjob and leaving the man with trousers around his ankles, waddling after you with a hard, erect dick.
It's quite funny to see, I will say that. So, Weird and Wonderful Dating News. Man slammed for telling partner he'll always love his late wife more than her. Oh. A year ago, a 33-year-old man decided he was finally ready to re-enter the world of dating following the death of his wife and the mother of his children 5 years ago. He met a lovely woman named Anna, who he admits he loves, but says that he will never love her as much as he loved his late wife. On the first Mother's Day that passed since being with Anna, one of the kids asked in front of Anna, "Do you love Anna or Mum more?" Ooh-wee. He responded by saying, "I love Anna, but your mum will always be the love of my life." Anna confronted him and said that she was mad at his answer and that she felt like second choice to his late wife. He said that this is a new stage of his life now, but that doesn't erase the love he had for her. Thoughts?
This is quite a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to take control of this? I feel like you should give us your opinion.
So this is quite close to home for me. So this is quite difficult, I guess, because I guess I'm seeing it from a different angle. I would say, look, we all have a love of our lives, I think, okay? We have someone. And that is a really, really unfortunate situation, a really, really sad situation. But as a new partner, there is no comparison. It's really, I think, quite unfair to put him in that position because that was the love of his life. Something unfortunate happened. Congratulations, he's met someone else. Amazing that he's brave enough to meet somebody else. You know, I get where she's coming from, but it's not personal. He's being respectful to his late wife.
I completely agree with that. And I think, I've obviously never been in that position. It's very hard for me to comment on that. But it's a tough one, isn't it? Because when someone dies who you are in love with or in a relationship with, you know, I don't think it's at all in any way, shape or form bad to move on. But obviously that's an unfinished bit. That must be really hard to deal with because that's unfinished business. Do you know what I mean? It's an unfinished business. But
I think a kid just being a kid by asking that, you know, that shouldn't be a reason to cause an argument.
But I do think it is potentially a little bit disrespectful to the current wife. Because he's effectively saying that you loved someone, you know, it's sort of like saying, well, you're only really here because you died. Do you see what I'm saying?
Which
I know is really hard. I think maybe he could have said it in a different way.
Yeah.
Because it sounds quite bad. Well, listen to that. If you know, I love Anna. So it's like saying, well, you know, I love her, but your mum is the love of my life.
It's pretty harsh, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can see like Anna.
Yeah,
I can see Anna's
harsh
point of view where you'd be like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether you think that or not, you know, I don't know.
Maybe he could have picked a different word. Maybe he could have said it slightly differently.
Yes. But listen, I don't know, because that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's individual.
That's quite a sad one as well.
5 years isn't actually that long, so, yeah. Should we leave it there? Should we move to another one?
Shall we?
Yeah.
Couple who met over the wrong phone number celebrate after walking down the aisle. When a 34-year-old man changed his phone number, little did he know that it would result in him finding the one. Jade Scott was baffled after she started to receive random Snapchat messages to her new mobile from someone she didn't know. A friend then spotted a mystery man's face and had appeared on her WhatsApp profile photo, prompting her to do some digging. Jade, who had recently got a new phone number, realised it was someone who was using her old digits. She then sent a message to her old number and started chatting to the new owner of it, Matthew. Within 5 days, the pair met up for a coffee after striking up an unlikely friendship. Things went so well that they started dating and eventually got engaged. The couple would plan to get married in 2022, 4 years after they first met, but they grew closer during the lockdown, so brought it forward to summer of this year. Jade said it was an amazing day. just how grateful they are that changing phone numbers could lead to unexpected love. This is, do you believe in fate? We have discussed it before. I think this is a fate.
I would say it's fate, yeah. I think that's really cute. Like, I do. Yeah. That's a lovely love story.
Some things are just meant to be.
Yeah.
Of all the numbers, of all the people, how unlikely is that? I mean, that's got to be like a one in a fucking billion chance. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I recently lost my phone. So does that mean that I shouldn't have got my old number back? I should have got a new number and then maybe something could have happened.
But it didn't. You could have found the love of your life.
Fuck.
But instead, you're just stuck talking to me.
Yeah. Every week.
Every week.
Poor me.
Poor you.
I love it.
I feel so sorry for you because you could have met the love of your life and swanned off into, you know, the sunset. But unfortunately, you are left being sad, depressed and single with me.
But you know what? Even if I did meet the love of my life and we went off into the sunset, it'd have to be a different country because there's never a fucking sunset here. I would still come and meet you, Pete, every week.
That makes me so happy because I love you with all my heart.
This is me pumping my heart.
Okay, it looks like...
I feel a song coming on.
Okay, what song is it?
I don't know, the beat of my heart.
The beat of my heart? Is it a country song?
The beat of my heart. If that's the accent, then yeah.
Yeah, okay. we'll think of the... what song came... Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
You and I.
Yeah, there we go. That'll do.
Okay. Topic.
Topic. Before the topic, you are listening to FUBAR Radio, the dating show with Cece and I. We have just been through weird and wonderful dating news. We are about to embark upon some heartbreak.
Deep and meaningfuls. Oh.
Cece, introduce that topic.
So, heartbreak. Survey says... I'm joking. So,
the survey says,
some psychologists say there's a couple of tips with dealing with heartbreak. Before we go into that, I would like to ask you, Peter Wicks, do you feel like you've ever had your heart broken? Let me rephrase that, because that's quite harsh. Do you feel like you've been hurt?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I've been hurt. Have I had my heart broken? Because I'm not sure if I've ever really, really been in love. I'm not sure that would mean that I've been heartbroken.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But yeah. Of course I've been hurt so many times. I've hurt myself and I've hurt other people. I've coming from another side of it, I've hurt people. But also, yeah, I've definitely been hurt. And it's a horrible feeling. Absolutely horrible. That feeling of, you know, like, how can I describe it? Being winded and feeling just completely and utterly anxious all the time, like not being able to really think about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've definitely had that.
And what have you done to deal with that?
Same as what I always do.
What's that?
Just crack on.
Okay, obviously something else then.
By that I mean, like, I don't... you know, that's kind of how I deal with anything that hurts me. I just get on with it and mm-hmm. I just put it to the back of my head. And I'm probably not, I feel like heartbreak is something that you should almost grieve. Do you know what I mean? Like, you should always take the time out to mend your heart first. And I don't think I've ever really done that. I think I just kind of push through and think, fuck it. I'll get on with it. So I don't think I've probably ever got over being hurt.
Well, I guess, like what you
said. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. And that is like when you say you're not sort of giving yourself time to heal.
Yeah.
Then sometimes that can then go over onto the next relationships. Then you're dealing with heartache from an ex of an ex of an ex of an ex. If you've been hurt that many times because you haven't dealt with it. So I don't know if you've ever been in an argument with a partner and you're thinking.
Many times.
Many times recently. And you know, they've said something to you and you think, are you really talking to me, or are you talking about your ex? Like, is this a thing with me, or is this that you're still angry at your ex? Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah, 100%. And I've certainly been out with people where I've thought to myself, well, I don't feel like you're over your ex because you've not you, for whatever reason, there's still things that make them angry about it or whatever else, however a relationship ends, whether it's they're the person that's ended it or vice versa. And also, yeah, just because you've ended a relationship doesn't mean that you can't be hurt and you can't be heartbroken.
You're heartbroken, yeah. 100%. You know?
So I'll tell you what, sorry, Sam Thompson keeps calling me. It's very annoying. Just does it all the time.
Should
we take his call? No, fuck no. I'd never want to take his call.
Should we get him on the cast? Should we talk about heartbreak with him? Do you want to just like put him on loudspeaker and say,
Should we come on? Should we call Sam back?
When was the last time you got your little heart broken and have you fixed it?
You here? Sorry, Sam. but before you start, you are live on the dating show.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Hello, everybody.
We are discussing heartbreak this week.
Oh, mate, you've come to the right gentleman, sir. Which one do you want?
We weren't going to have a guest.
Well, I'll tell you what, can you just give us, very quickly, and then I'll call you back, can you just give us an idea of how you feel when you've been heartbroken before? Just tell us how you feel.
Oh, I've got a perfect analogy for you. I have never been to Nando's and not been able to finish my half chicken meat and double curry chips and the coleslaw, right, with halloumi fries. Whenever I go through a breakup, I can barely touch a morsel. That's how you know, because you've got that pain. You know, that pain where you're like, it's like a stomach knot. That never goes. And it means I can't eat. And then it means I lose loads of weight, which is very counterproductive. As a guy, you don't want to lose that much weight because you're trying to get stats, make the ex look fucking jealous. But you can't do that because you can't eat. So it's a whole big cycle of no Nando's, skinniness, and depression. How's that for you?
Yeah, I'm just going through a tunnel, mate. Sorry. Bye, 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 bye.
I mean, I have to give it to him. That boy is fucking quick. Where does that come from? How does his mind go from like, oh, heartbreak, Nando's?
I just don't know. Nando's. He's an unexplained medical phenomenon.
Wow. Okay, but, well, that you know, each of their own, that's his version of it.
That's his version of it. But yeah, and so as I was saying, like I've been out with people and I thought, are you really over your ex? Because they've put some of their past experiences on me, or it's like when people talk about rebounds. I've been a rebound. Yeah. I think I've been a rebound for people a lot of times.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just that guy, and I'm just the rebound guy. So I think
you're not the rebound guy. You're way more than that.
Not really. So I think a lot of the time, if you don't give yourself time to heal from heartbreak and you don't give yourself time to evaluate what's actually happened, why something's broke down, you start, because heartbreak to me is missing someone, regardless of, do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. that feeling of not having that person in your life again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy during heartbreak to just think of the good things and the bits you miss.
Yeah.
Not the things, why it hasn't worked out.
Well, that fits into the idea of someone. You think about, you miss the idea of what they were. You miss the 3 months, amazing 3 months that they gave you, but all they did was give you 3 amazing months. It doesn't mean they've got 6 amazing months. They gave you 3 fucking good months. And so we create an attach an idea to it. And then it's like, I miss, and the heartbreak and it, the hurt, because of an idea.
And I also think as well that people shouldn't, if you go through heartbreak or you split up with someone and you know, and as much as the topic is heartbreak, I think just being hurt when a relationship ends counts to this as well. There isn't a time frame for that. Mm. You know, some people just get over things very quickly, and I think that probably says a lot. But also it takes an awful long time, but there's not a set amount of time that you should feel like or that you do feel like shit for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They do say time's a healer and all that sort of stuff. And I do agree with that to some extent. But I think it's because you learn to live with what's happened. Mm-hmm. You learn to live with it and you learn to understand what's happened. And if you don't do that, it makes it very difficult to move forward.
Mm. I think there's a process when you go through heartbreak of like that, you know, that fuck anger. You stage. Yeah. And then
sadness.
Oh, I feel bad now. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And then there's usually like a bit of a 2-week window where you think, oh, do I go back? And then you've got to try and battle through that to then probably get angry again. And then it's just full circle, isn't it?
Completely. And I think there's also that thing where, you know, some people say the best way to get over someone is to get under someone. And I think then you go through that stage of, you know, maybe I should go out and date and meet someone else and that will help me get over it. Mm. I don't think that's the best way to do something at all. I think it's nice to get the ego boost, to still feel wanted and all that sort of stuff. But actually finding someone else to replace someone else, you cannot do, because I've said it a million times, we're all completely and utterly unique. You can't replace people. Mm. People are irreplaceable. Whether they're good, bad, whatever, they're irreplaceable. So I think when you try and replace what you're missing with something else, you're still missing what you had before. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm not one against that at all. I think do what you need to do to get through your days, because heartache does fucking hurt. And if that means sleeping with someone else, go for it. But what you are doing is kind of delaying that pain. So you might sleep with someone else for another 2 months and then you're like, oh shit, now I'm here again. And now it doubly hurts because I didn't fucking deal with the first one. So you're kind of breaking up with a new person that you didn't really mean to fall in or have feelings for, because you're just hoping that they're like your ex, but they're actually not. They're a new person. So then it's like almost like a double whammy.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I know the answer to this, but I feel like we should all know the answer to this. Heartbreak for you.
Yeah.
How many times have you genuinely, do you think you've genuinely experienced heartbreak?
I mean, I've been hurt in every relationship, but I don't know if I can honestly say someone has
broke your heart.
Broken my heart.
Really?
Like, there, you know, there's a particular guy, my first ever boyfriend, you know, he was many things, but I think I was going through something that was heartbreaking in my life. So when he was there and he was being horrible and, you know, cheating and all the rest of it,
it accumulated.
That he was breaking my heart. But actually, fuck him. Like, I did, you know, the thing that was going on in my life was way bigger than he was. And the others, they will hurt because I've cared about them. In the moment, you know, I've said I'd love you. Upon reflection, haven't meant it.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, I'm broken, you know, I'm so hurt. I just hurt because I like being around that particular person, because they're all friends at the end of the day. I actually genuinely like these people. You know, they're not like horrible.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be with them in the first place if you didn't
genuinely, you know, like, I miss my fucking mate that I was sleeping with. It's like, you know, you miss it. You don't just break up with the person that your boyfriend, you break up with your mate as well. And if you're that close, you spend enough time with them, they become your best mate. So it does hurt.
I actually, from what you've just said there, actually, I think heartbreak isn't just to do with relationships either. I've had my heart broken in other respects that are not a dating respect. And I think it's a similar thing. It is similar. Of course it's similar. Because, you know, a broken heart is, regardless of the reason for it, it's still similar. It's a similar pain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Actually thinking about it, maybe I have, but for not a dating reason.
Yeah.
What about you? Is that same for you, do you think?
No, when I think of a broken heart, I have a visual. I'm a very, like, I see things. So I see like a heart, and then when I see it broken, I like sort of see it literally go in half. And I don't feel like that's happened to me, but I feel like there's a lot of chips.
Cracks.
Lots of cracks and chippings.
Actually, so good point. Yeah, I've got to agree with that.
I sort of explain that when I'm, you know, in a new relationship and I say like, this is sort of my heart, and it is a bit like chipped and there's some parts falling off, but I feel like we can mend it. And I feel like, you know, but that's not something that I can do my own healing, but the bits that have fallen off, I feel like when I meet my person, it will all just pop back and be like fat and juicy and pump and be like an amazing loved heart. Does that make sense?
That's one of the cutest things I've ever heard you say. Do you know what? That's such a fucking lovely way to look at it. And actually, now that you said that, you know, I'm changing my mind every fucking 2 minutes here.
I do as well. When we talk, I'm like, no, actually, I think this now.
But I agree with you, actually. Yeah, maybe I think my heart's probably, you know, cracked and fucking chipped and all that sort of stuff. But what a fucking beautiful way to look at it. Actually, when you meet your person, you know, they're the ones that'll actually mend.
Yeah, how lush is that?
Yeah, that's love. You're that's fucking really cute, Cece. That's really cute.
You can have that. You can.
I'm going to use that one. I'm using that. My head. I've got that one now.
Right.
So, what do you think then, going through heartbreak? What do you think the best way for you, or in your opinion, to deal with her? Let's call it her, or a chipped heart, or whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't
necessarily have to be the full broken heart, but either way, it's a similar feeling you get. Just is like, you know, that's the way I would describe it.
Yeah.
What do you think the best things you can do are?
I really think it's down to, like, each situation is different. So sometimes I have done the, I need to heal and I need time away. And I've literally gone off men, and, you know, friends have been like, hun, are you not into men anymore? Because I've gone so far where I just don't want to be around them. That's one way, but that's what I needed the time, because it was probably a toxic relationship. But when it's like an end of a, like, friendship, boyfriend relationship, I mean, look, healing alone is probably what the book says, you know, but if you do need to go and get a little top up of love and you're in control of that, then I don't see, I just think it's so individual. I have done the get underneath someone else, you know, and I don't attach no feelings to it as well.
I don't know. When I said I do, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, provided you're honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't because you know, it's not nice just to sit on your own and fucking deal with heartbreak. And sometimes it is nice to be around people and feel good about yourself again and do all that sort of stuff. So I don't necessarily think that's wrong, provided you're honest. I think if you are not, then that's when it causes more problems, and then you do end up, do you know what I mean? Because that's, you're basically starting something that's fucking doomed anyway. And then you're going to have to go through a similar heartbreak again.
Yeah,
you're gonna feel like bad because you've let someone down, because you weren't over someone else and all that. So if you're honest about it, then I think, you know,
the only thing I'll say is that depending on who that person is, some people, you know, we all like someone that we can't have. So it's like, oh, I'm a rebound, I see what she's doing here, she just need, okay, yeah, babe, and, you know, and then they think that they can change you. And also it's sexy, because I'm telling them, listen, hun, there's no emotional attachment here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's difficult. I end up thinking of everyone else's feelings. Sometimes, you know, you do have to think about what you need in that moment. But if you know you are intentionally hurting someone else, even if you've been honest, then maybe that's where karma comes in. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. It's a really tough one, really. Because
it is.
Because heartbreak for everyone is very different. The feeling is very different, I'm sure. And I think the extent and intensity of it is very different for different people. And it depends what sort of person you are. And that's, you know, again, that's one of the beautiful things. We all deal with things very, very differently. So there's no right or wrong answer, I don't think, to how you should deal with heartbreak or what you can do. I think it's just about knowing yourself and knowing what you can and can't deal with, and knowing what your limits are in terms of how you're going to process information.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
If I'm being really truthful, now I'm thinking about it a bit more, I would probably say the times that if there is a way to get over someone in the best way that you can, it's probably when I have just completely stepped away and just spent time with really fucking great friends.
Yeah.
Been around good people, done nice things for me, not going out on the piss and, you know, staying up all night. Just giving myself a bit of love, doing nice, wholesome things, seeing the family, like that kind of stuff.
I think remembering the good things that you have in your life is really important.
Yeah.
You know, when you do lose something that is good or bad or whatever it may be in your life, remembering the good parts of your life and what you have got and feeling gratitude and appreciation for that. I think that's regardless of the intensity and how you feel, that for anyone, I think is the only thing that I would say you should do, is remember how good the rest of your life is, or remember the good parts of the fact that you're still alive and you can change your life and you can do anything you want for the rest of it, regardless of what's gone, what's happened previously. You're in control of what happens now.
Yeah.
You can't control what has happened, but you can control what will happen.
Absolutely.
And I think trying to remember that is probably the only thing that I would say everyone can do, not just with heartbreak, with all sorts of things. Because we've all got our demons and past and whatever else. And, you know, it's really easy to say that, because certainly it's hypocritical for me to say that, because I don't necessarily do that. But I think that's something that everyone should learn to be able to do.
I think there's a really nice moment as well in the sort of healing process of when you can get to a point where you look at the relationship, firstly, not feel angry towards it. That's really nice. It's like, I don't feel angry.
Like coming full circle.
Yeah, coming full circle. And then the lesson. Because everyone's a fucking lesson. Even if they're an asshole, even if they are all the worst things, they're still a lesson. And when it sometimes takes me a year to learn the lesson. But when you can get to that point, it's such a good place. Because you're like, I get it now. I get what you've taught me. You know, it might just be you've taught me that these are all the things I don't want. It could just be as simple as that.
Knowing what you don't want is just as important as knowing what you do want. I genuinely believe that. So, good.
Look at us.
Look at
should we read what the psychologists do actually say?
Yeah, let's.
It's pretty similar. So,
well, of course, because we're experts.
I mean, I know, actually, it's basically everything said. They said, allow yourself to feel your feelings. We said that. They said, cut off communication with your ex. We didn't say that, but we didn't need to say that because
On that note, though, I fully agree. You cannot get over heartbreak if you are still in contact with someone. All this trying to be friends straight after, I genuinely...
That
is a recipe for disaster. You have to fucking come away.
Yeah.
Come away. As soon as you start trying to be friends straight away, it's very hard to disconnect those feelings.
Look, I always go back to my exes. I have a habit of doing it. It's because I like them. I'm like, oh, I like you as a person. I know we're not emotionally attached. It just does not work.
You can be friends with an ex. I fully believe you can be friends with an ex, but you have to have that process where you have to separate
a
first.
Period, yeah.
And realise that actually the romantic side of stuff or the association you have with them in a romantic, intimate way has gone.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then you can actually build a friendship because, like you said, a lot of the time relationships are just friendships that you want to fuck.
Yeah.
They're people that you just, you know, that you fancy, but actually you do all the stuff that you would do with your friend. You have a laugh, you do this, you do that. And you can have that once you've got rid of those feelings.
Yeah. And I think it's being really respectful to the other person as well because no two people heal at the same time. Go, right, we're there 3 months. Okay, both good. You know, you've got to let that other person heal. If they need their time, just because you're over the ex, it does not mean that they're over them. It really pisses me off when someone comes back and you're like, I'm not ready yet.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
You've got to be respectful with that.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Next one.
Find your support system. That is key.
Do you know what, Sissy? You're part of my support system now.
You're part of mine. Find support system.
I think that one's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And I think, that is really important. By support system as well, I mean, there's different types of support system. And I think that finding a good support system is not about finding people who just make you forget everything. It's about finding people who are there regardless. And I think this is on a slightly different note, but my nan, who is my oracle, always said to me, if you can find throughout your life a handful of people you trust with your life, then you've done well. We've all got loads of friends and acquaintances and this, that, and the other and whatever else. And they're great for different bits. But for me, a support system is the people that you trust in a crisis, and they're the people you trust never to judge, and they're the people that will be there no matter what. Whatever you want, they were there to pick up the pieces and help you. And I think working out who your support system is very, very difficult, because when you're younger, friends come and go and move on. As you're older, you start working out who really matters and who, you know, when the shit hits the fan, who's really there.
It's like having that one friend that really listens and not tries to just make you forget or puts their opinion on it. You know, sometimes we don't want an answer. Sometimes you just want to be heard. You just want to, like, you just want to get your fucking, you just want to vent your relationship out to a friend that you trust.
Yeah. And I think, having a support system that understands you and how you deal with things is important, because I'm not a venter. I'm more of a sit in silence type. So having a support system that understand when I need my time alone without pressuring me to talk about this and do this and do this, that's really important.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we all deal with things very, very differently. So finding a support system that works for you is very important, regardless of heartbreak, just in general life.
Yeah.
Find your support system.
This one's really lovely. I really like this. Psychologists say, don't judge the length of your healing process. So true.
Yeah.
There is no answer, is there? There's no right answer.
No, I think we said that one earlier on as well, because obviously we're great.
Fuck me, we're pros.
We are fucking good. Yeah, that's really, really important. No two people the same.
This one we didn't say, but I feel like it was coming. Create new routine.
we'd have got there.
We would have got there in the end.
We have to give the psychologist something.
I know, fucking hell. They'll be out of a job. Create new routines. Yeah, finding something different, I guess. Finding, like, Do you know what, actually, I did, I love dance, right? I love dancing. I fuck it, whether it's in a club, whether it's in my living room.
In a club.
Up in a club.
A bit in, up in a club.
In a class.
She's dancing in a club. Where are you? I'm in a club. What are you doing? I'm dancing in a club.
I'm in a club.
Where are you, club?
Club.
Are you dancing? Yeah, in the club.
In a club.
In a club.
So what Pete and I was trying to say, that I like dancing in the club. And we just took it too far. Pete, if you and I grew up together and we were brother and sister, can you imagine our parents would fucking hate us?
We'd have been put up for adoption.
100%.
And separated.
Do you ever play that game? Or was told, you probably didn't, but I was always told, play that game, come on, Cece, the one where you put your hands underneath your bottom and you close your mouth and you basically, is who can not speak for the longest time?
The quiet game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I was so excited to play it. And then I got to be quiet.
I mean, I would say let's play it now, but I don't think it would be much fun for the listeners.
Well, no, I find it highly frustrating because I like to move my hands a lot and I like to talk a lot.
I've just thought how wonderful it would be if we were brother and sister and grew up together.
Oh, it would be fucking awesome.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I'd fucking hate you, but I'd really love you as well. No, but a little bit. Come on, you'd hate me as well because I'd be bratty and I'd always have to be like, win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So where were we? Yeah. Up in a club.
Anyway, in a club.
What I was going to say is, when I get into a relationship, I kind of forget my passion, but I really love dancing.
So, in the club or just anywhere? Club,
pretty much anywhere, but in the club especially. So creating new habits is remind yourself what your passion is. If you love knitting, if you love dog walking, whatever it is, go and do that again.
If you love knitting, no offence, but I'd probably find something a little bit more exciting.
Listen, each of them, we don't judge on this show.
Oh, no, we don't judge. No.
We fucking judge.
Shout out to the knitters. You fucking weirdos.
All right, let's move on. I'm getting on board of my own voice. Right, next one. Trust that the pain won't last forever. The famous saying that I can't read. This too
shall pass.
Oh, I didn't know that was a famous saying. It's very relevant.
How do you not know that that's a famous saying? This too shall pass. Yeah.
This too shall pass. Okay. Yeah, you basically said that as well.
It's times are heated up, but it's basically the same sort of thing. Listen, we basically smashed the fucking life out of that one.
Next. We did smash it.
Yeah.
Good.
If anyone has, because we like to be involved because we are a family here at The Dating Show, if anyone has any stories of their heartbreak and how they got through it, we would like to hear that. If you could email us or contact us, you can email us on thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. If you want to share your story, we would love to hear it and dissect.
And I want to say a big thank you to all the people that send me DMs that actually I don't always share with Pete, but they are always to both of us, and they're always very grateful for the things that we discuss because they find our podcast helps them through certain situations in their life. So thank you for the messages. And Pete, that I'm finally sharing with you that I get these messages.
Thank you.
They're to both of us. They're not just me. You know, they're not like Pete's a dick. They're like to both of you. Thank you for helping me through whatever it is they're going through.
Well, do you know what? Even for Cece and I, we've said it a million times. We're not experts and we're not... we're not experts basically, but we have been around the block a little bit and we generally overshare some of our stories and discuss some of the things that we feel and how we've done things. But we love hearing from you as well and what you do. And we love hearing, you know, because we are, it's discussion. Because what's key? What is key?
Communication. That was disgusting. I'm sorry that everyone heard my swallow. I took a big gulp.
And I'm sure not the only one who is slightly turned on. So...
Oh, it's the first time anyone said that to me.
You big gulper.
I see why men say this.
Filthy, dirty little gulper.
I get it now. Finally.
Oh, yeah.
Leaked.
Go on, girl.
I get it now. Okay.
Lovely. Enjoyed that. So before Cece does me for sexual harassment, should we move on from heartbreak?
Let's move on.
As I've said a million times already, just in case you didn't know, you are listening to The Dating Show with Cece Coleman and me, Pete Wicks. I think it's time for our favourite part of the show.
Okay, let's do this.
Tell me what time that is, Cece.
The time is listeners' questions and stories.
Yeah, that is the time.
That is the time.
That is the time. What time
should
is
we
it?
Go to the time? The time is listeners' questions and stories.
That is the time. You are right.
And we're going to go to a story today.
We are going for a fucking story. And the story's from...
Rachel, but we need to guess the accent. Okay. I'll let you go first. Go.
I'm going to go... I'm actually going to go Essex.
I'm going to go American.
Oh, we have had some fucking... some international accents of late.
Yes.
Okay. So. Rachel, are you Essex or American or none of those fucking things?
Hi, guys. My name's Rachel and I'm a clinical animal behaviourist, which means that I work with dogs who have problems. It's taken me about 12 years to get to clinical animal behaviour status. And obviously for me, dogs are a huge part of my life. Since Pete loves dogs, I thought you might enjoy the story of how I met my partner, Lee. So as many dog trainers do, I was working at Crufts, over five years ago now. And this tattooed gentleman came over to the stand I was working at and we got chatting. My boss at the time actually let me have a break so that I could go on a date at Crufts with this man. And here we are, all this time later, we now have our two dogs who actually, one was his and one was mine. And the first date was very much all about if the dogs got on, we would give it a go. So yeah, the dogs got on, they love each other very much too. And we're still together all this time later. So as you're enjoying dating stories, I thought you might like that one. So a dog trainer who met their partner at Crufts.
We love that story.
We love that story. Love, 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 love.
Peg, what do you think?
She loves it too.
Do you love that story?
Yes, she does.
Do you? And she does. She loves that
she
story.
She loves it.
Okay, but you smell a little bit, so off you go.
Does she smell? Do you bath her?
I do bath her, yes, but she went for a walk earlier on today and she got so muddy and wet that sometimes it's actually easier to let dry a little bit before I bath her.
I get you.
I have to bath her in a bit.
Does she like a bath?
She hates it.
Does Eric like a bath?
Eric loves it.
I fucking knew he would. I knew he would.
Eric just loves to be... he loves to be massaged in the bath, whereas she loves to just get me wetter than she is. If you've tuned in, I'm talking about my dog. Rachel. Love your job. Love that you love dogs. Stacey loves dogs. Yeah. Stacey, a wooden dog. I've got a real one. I've got two real ones. But Stacey would love a real dog and she looks after dogs all the time. Stacey is a babysitter of dogs.
And some are wooden.
Yes, some of them are wooden, but some of them do actually have a pulse.
But some are normal and real.
Some are normal. So we love this story. Right. So the thing I'm going to take from this, firstly, Rachel, thank you for that story. How important is it? So this is quite an interesting one, that your dogs get on with your partner. Now, for me.
Go on, you go.
Very important.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've already told me that Peggy's a wild child.
Peggy's very wild, yeah. But it really makes, if people, because obviously, you know, my dogs are with me a lot and I'm obsessed with them. I love them. Mm. If someone isn't really a dog person, it does put me off.
100%.
So, yeah, so for me, because I'm such a dog person, it's really, really important that whoever I'm with is also... because, you know, you get some people and they're a bit like, about dogs, or, do you know what I mean? Don't like... I would struggle to be with someone like that.
I'm just going to say this, and it might offend a lot of people.
I know you're going
to... I usually like to offend a lot of people, but this one, it fucking goes deep. If you don't like dogs, there's a marker against who you are.
I thought you were going to go with, if you don't like dogs, I don't like you.
I nearly said it. But
you did. I knew you nearly said that.
But I wouldn't date you. I'm telling you, trust me, I would not date you if you did not like dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I second that. To be honest with you, I love animals full stop. And I think it's really, generally, I mean, listen, I know I'm a fucking nightmare and I've made loads of mistakes and whatever else. But generally, I think people that love animals and have an affection for animals are generally quite good people.
Yeah.
Just in my experience. I'm not saying that everyone, listen, that's not a blanket statement. I'm just, if you have compassion and whatever else for animals, and for the voiceless, then I generally think you're...
It's just a lovely trait. I guess it's a bit like, you know, some people, what your deal breakers are. For me, that is a deal breaker if someone doesn't like animals. It just it's just not a bit of me.
Yes, I agree with that.
If you've been bitten or something as a child, and I understand you're scared of dogs, but there's a difference between scared and disliking.
And also, I think, you know, if you have had bad experiences with animals, it's whether or not you're willing to work through the bad experiences, because it's the same as having bad experiences with people. You don't just suddenly stop speaking to people, do you? So I think there's always a way to work through things, because animals...
we're so pro-animals, aren't we?
We
take it too far now. I probably do by saying I dislike everyone that doesn't like dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. So, Rachel, thank you ever so much. Next up, we have another story from Emma. Shall I read it?
Read to me.
Okay.
We got to guess where she's from.
Well, we can't, because it's a story that I'm going to read.
We're
going to do this one. Okay.
And then you've got to do the accent. I think she's from Birmingham.
I had a string of bad dates. On a first date, a guy cracked out a jar of coconut oil and moisturised his face as dinner arrived.
That's really good. And also, it really fits, because that's fucked up. Carry on.
Another good... can I do the rest in my accent?
Yeah. Okay, go on then. All right.
Fucking it. I'm so sorry to anyone from Birmingham.
I'll go worse than that if you want.
Another guy picked his nose. Oh, God. Do you know what? I'm going to start this again. I've had a string of bad dates. On a first date, a guy cracked out a jar of coconut oil and moisturised his face as dinner arrived. Another guy picked his nose throughout the whole day, and another bought me a book on Irish sayings. I'm Irish. He called me old, said all nurses are rude and are bitches. Then, as a joke, said, just like me. Emma, where are you finding these fucking helmets that you're dating?
Yeah.
Firstly, the second one, the third one about the... the book, the Irish book. I think that's just someone with shit sense of humour who thought he was being funny.
Yeah.
That's just taking unfortunate. I'm sure some people find that funny. I do not. Funny. But each to their own. Guy picking his nose throughout the day. You are a fucking cretin. That's absolutely rotten.
That's disgusting. That literally made my face. I made a face then.
Yeah, yeah.
Face.
Eat your food, not where you pull out your nose.
It's disgusting.
That's just guys. I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure I don't feel like I need to say it, but I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Don't do that on a date.
How do you feel about the moisturizer?
I think that's fucking rude.
Rude? Okay.
I think it's quite rude. I mean,
it's just that again.
Dry
face.
Yeah, I moisturise. I whatever. But if you're on a first date, I mean, I don't know if you've got dry skin or what else do you get? Chapped lips, and you use that fucking stuff that goes on your lips. I don't, because I've always got quite soft, moist lips. but if you do, I just on a first date, I just feel like I would go to the toilet and do that.
Exactly, go to the fucking toilet.
I wouldn't sit there just going, yeah, you know, just getting the coconut. Oh, dinner's here. Yeah, sorry, I've been too rich.
I know.
I just find that quite rude.
Emma, I think you know, not to put the blame back on you, but you are picking some fucking weird people. Like, how are you finding these men? And are you not asking the right questions before you go on the date to get to the point of understanding that maybe there's...
Yeah, and maybe just like going forward, maybe just... ask people to blow their nose before they arrive, and perhaps moisturise before they get there.
Don't buy me a book.
Yeah, no books on Irish sayings.
And don't diss my job.
That
could be actually under the profile on a dating app. Don't diss my fucking job. Don't buy me a book. Don't pick your nose, and definitely do not moisturise.
Yeah, listen, obviously I moisturise. It's good to look after your skin. I love the fact that he looks after his skin, and I think that's something that, when you're further down the line, it's fine to sit there and, you know, if you're getting ready for bed or you're doing whatever else. But at a dinner table, no. And on a first date, no.
Emma, this is how much the nose picking disgusts me. I would not sit for the remainder of the date. That people always say to me, because of first dates, what would make you walk out of the restaurant, or what would make you leave a date? And I'm like, oh no, you know, you've got to give that person a chance. Everyone fucks up. That is not fucking okay. If you do not like dogs and you pick your fucking nose, that is not okay.
I feel like we've made Cece angry.
I know, what's going on? I'm very fiery today.
You are, being, it's your hair, yeah. It's
my hair.
It's your hair. It's your hair and thoughts of dancing in the club.
in the
In the crib. So basically, guys, just don't moisturise, don't pick your nose, and just don't tell shit jokes, whether you be at dinner or in the crib.
Do you know what I love most is when people must switch on late down the line and then they just hear statements like that. It just makes me happy.
It just, do you know what? Just the dating show makes me happy. You make me happy.
Makes me happy. You make me happy.
You are my sunshine.
My only sunshine.
You make me happy when skies are grey. You'll never know, dear. How much I love you.
Don't take my sunshine away. Oh, wow. That ending was amazing. That was just...
CC, you there?
I'm in a club.
Are you in the club, CC?
I'm in a club.
CC, in the club. Because... I've enjoyed today so much. I feel like rather than just doing two from the listeners, I think we should go for a hat trick.
Oh, does that mean we can give advice?
Well, the next one is, babe,
Not that the stories mean that we don't give advice.
No, we love hearing the stories, but Cece and I are feeling advicey.
Advicey and sentimental. I feel like yes. I've got more to give.
So we have got some advice. Right, from people want to know our expert opinions. So, Amy, where do we think Amy's from?
Amy is from the Netherlands.
Oh, she's Dutch.
She is.
Okay, I'm going to say that Amy is Spanish, from Barcelona. Where are you from? Barcelona. Where have you been? In the club in Barcelona.
See.
Amy, please be from Barcelona.
Please be from the Netherlands.
My name's Amy and I'm originally from Sydney. Does it count as an anniversary if you broke up in between? I'd love to know what you think about this.
Ooh, good question.
Good question, my Australian lover. Well, you're not my lover, but I do like an Australian accent.
Do you know what I'm going to say to this?
Amy, I'm just going to say before we go into this, you sound delightful.
You do sound delightful. And do you know what? Thanks for keeping it short and snappy.
Yeah, we like short and snappy.
Short and snappy.
A little bit like my sex life. Oh,
quickie. Amy, I feel like when you marry this guy in 10 years, you're not going to give a fuck about your break. So rather than counting this, we split up for 2 months and then, fuck it. If you met in June, then the year after in June, it's a year. That's how I feel. But I'm not tedious about stuff like that. I'm very tedious about other things, but not that.
I've not really celebrated anniversaries properly, but...
Really?
It's a shock. I did celebrate an anniversary, even though I'd split up with someone in between.
Okay.
So the only anniversary I've ever celebrated, I had split up with a person in between, but we still continued on the original anniversary.
Yeah.
Just because, it was harder to remember a second date. I think just go with the original anniversary.
Yeah, I do. Also, you're kind of reminding yourself that you had a break.
You split up. If you got back together, for whatever reason you split up, if you got back together and you're happy, just go with the original is my advice.
My only unless is if you spent more time broken up than you did together.
My only advice would be unless there were other people involved.
My only advice would be, I'm joking, I'm just trying to...
If there are other people... Let's say you go on a break or let's say that you split up for a while and then you're with someone else, then I would perhaps start again.
Yeah, that's a starter againer. 100%.
Yeah, that's a starter againer. But if you are split up with someone for whatever reason and it was, things didn't work, but then you get back together, go with the original date. Yeah. If you have been with people in between, I would start again because then you're bypassing what happened before and going fresh slate, let's go.
Not remembering how many other willies you've had. Yeah, I agree with that.
Not remembering any other encounters.
In the club.
But Amy, that's our advice. We hope we've helped. I'm sure we have.
Short and sweet.
Now, on to another note. It is the end of the show now.
It is. However, you're going to say something's going to upset me. I know, I can tell.
Yeah, we have an announcement.
I am going to get upset. Where's my tissue?
This is the last show.
Do.
For 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks.
So Cece and I are having a little break.
But there's a reason for this, isn't there? It's because we feel like we talk to each other so much. We want to miss each other more than we already do. So we thought we'd come up with a really great idea, just have 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
To like literally fucking
re-energize.
Well, I was gonna say wank over each other, but not in that way. You know when you wank over someone, but you don't mean it in that way. you know, do you know what I mean?
So
it's like a terminology thing.
When you're wondering where Cece and I are the next couple of weeks, just know
hiding around my flat. Yeah.
We're at home FaceTiming, having a wank.
No, but this is the point. We're not allowed to talk to each other, so we don't FaceTime.
It's three weeks
of no contact.
Oh God, how are we going to do that?
Exactly.
All right, yeah. So it is going to be 3 weeks of no contact. Cece and I aren't going to actually speak to each other for 3 weeks. So we're just going to wank over each other from memory.
But I'm going to tell you the great part to this. So there is a fucking phenomenal part to this. I know you already know.
No, tell me. I don't know. I mean, I'm reading it right in front of me, but I don't know.
Well, the is that fucking show that we have in 3 weeks. Oh my God.
It's gonna be climatic.
If you don't fucking tune in
after
I've got nothing to say after that, but that's
yeah, if you don't tune in, then you just don't tune in. Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? But listen, because we are having this little break, we're not just gonna leave you stranded.
No.
We're not gonna do that because we wouldn't do that. Because for some reason we seem to think that you enjoy this. Not entirely sure why. You probably will switch off for 3 weeks, but we would rather you didn't.
No.
There is going to be another episode, a brand new episode, which will be with JP Cooper, who is an amazing guy. We absolutely loved him, didn't we?
We love him more because of him being... I know we say that we love our guests. We do love our guests. But he was just wonderful to talk to. Very, very authentic, very down to earth, pleasant, humble.
Yeah.
And quite sexy.
And if you want to, if you don't know who JP Cooper is, then where have you been? But also, you should listen to his music because he's an unbelievable singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to his stuff before the episode. And then for the other 2 weeks, we have put together a compilation.
I'm quite excited about this.
Of the best bits of the past 6 months.
Oh, shit.
So, obviously, we've done an awful lot of shows now, and hopefully you've tuned into every one. But if you haven't, if you missed some, we are going to do a compilation of all of the best bits that have happened over the past 6 months. And that will be really, really fun because we've had such a blast doing this. Such a blast. Who says that?
We've had such a blast.
That's such a blast.
That's so not you. If you've been hanging out with Sammy Boy too much.
Yeah, the conversation with Sam's, we've had a fucking blinder.
There we go. Yeah,
doing this show. And we are going to be back. It is just a couple of weeks off.
Don't worry.
In the meantime, watch the best bits and, sit and wank over us too.
Yeah, think we can all, as a collaborative, we can all wank together.
Yeah, so we're just having 3 weeks off to wank ourselves into a stupor and we think you should join us. So
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't. I don't either. I feel like, you know, we are all part of the circle of trust.
I say this stuff because I really don't feel like it's a bad thing. And then I just had this like flash of like my auntie messaging me going, I listened to your show and the ending.
Why are you and Pete wanking over each other?
Yeah.
Why have you asked everyone else to wank over you?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell her that she has, she's misheard me.
Well, do you know what? I mean this with the utmost respect, but Auntie, have a wank over us.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
So, so please, over the next couple of weeks, tune in anyway for the best bits for JP Cooper. And in the meantime, just join Cece, myself, and Cece's auntie having a wank.
Oh, God, have you met her as well? She's so well spoken and just wonderful.
Cece's auntie, what's your auntie's name?
And I struggle to swear in front of her. I still do, but you know, it's one of those ones where you're like, oh, I shouldn't do it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Cece's auntie, I apologise. For my comments, just leave the wanking to us.
Oh fuck! Shall we go on that note, or not?
Well, should we just stay?
Wait, Pete. I'm going to open it up. Is there anything that you feel you need to get off your chest? Anything that you would like to share?
Do you know what? There is actually. Because
here we go.
We're not going to speak for a couple of weeks, and I just want to say I'm going to miss you so much. You are the highlight of my week every single week, and I will really, really miss you. I don't know why we're treating this like this is the last show ever. We're literally gone for a couple of weeks. But in all seriousness, I will really miss you because you are one of the most amazing people I've ever met.
Pete, I wish I had better words than that. So I'm just going to repeat what you said. But thank you.
Well, thank you.
You know what we need to get better at is actually receiving compliments.
Don't like that, yeah.
No, this is a chat. No, I know you're trying to cut me off right now. This is your challenge. You can't look away when I give you this comment. You can't have a sip of that drink. You just gotta watch me compliment you. Pete? Thank you for being you. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for being my support system. Thank you for always listening. Thank you for always sharing. Thank you for your honesty and thank you for your authenticity. I love you.
I love you. I really do.
I love it when we hold on mics and our producer fucking hates it.
I know she does because she can't hear anything. Bye then.